Hey guys, what's up? My name is Anthony, and welcome to another edition of BNA Sports Talk. So this is take number two. It's 6 in the morning, and is it 6? It's not even 6, it's 5:30, and I want to be productive today. I already had my breakfast, and you know, today's going to be a good day. I want to start off the day productively, so I'm going to record 2 videos today, maybe even just upload them back to back, because I'm starting to get some traction with my podcast feed. I want to keep on feeding it. I just want to keep on feeding it. And we're going to talk about Brian Flores today. And just so you know, if you're new, whatever, I'm not an X's and O's guy. I don't, you know the specific what Brian Flores brought to the table. And but the offense, he couldn't manage. He couldn't bring in an offensive guy. And you want to, if you're the Miami coach, you know, the GM, rather, you want to be able to bring in an offensive guy. And it seems like you couldn't quite bring that in. Brian Flores would blame Tua. And the GM would blame Brian Flores. And ultimately, the owner chose the side of the general manager, who decided to take Tua instead of Justin Herbert. And rumor was that Brian Flores was really slamming the table for Justin Herbert. And you can't, I think Colin Cowherd said this, so I'll say it, you can't look at the guy the same. You can't. It's not like cheating on your act, you know, cheating on, and you can't look at somebody the same. I had a friend that's like, I'll never be able to look at you the same because I, you know, insulted her and it was not a good thing. But, you know, we're good friends now. But we're, you know, and that only happened 6 months ago. And then 3 months after, we're good friends again. Even 2 months, maybe like a month after. Whatever. I'm talking about too much personal things. But, yeah, so Brian Flores ultimately got fired because he couldn't get along with people. And now another team that's, you know, he's going to find a good fit. He's going to find a fit in Chicago, find a fit somewhere that's going to appreciate his kind of style, like maybe a Detroit-style team. And right now, there's not really that opening that's, like, glaring. You know, obviously, Denver's open. You can have, like, the Raiders that are open, but you already had, like, a John Gruden style. People are saying that Brian Flores should go to the Giants, and just a brief comment about that. You know, you can't bring in the same kind of mentality into the locker room, that stubbornness, the kind of mentality, like, not I'm smarter than everyone else, but like my way or the highway. You know, you're going to need a little bit more of a liberal guy. So that's why I don't want a John Harbaugh. I'll mention like who I'm kind of looking at later, maybe after we hire a GM, kind of how I, you know, how I'm looking at it. But I haven't really been participating too much on like the GM search. It's going to be one of the Joe guys, Joe Shane or Joe, whatever you pronounce the guy's last name. But yeah, so This video has been, you know, I need to pump up the energy here. We're talking about the Giants. We're talking about, you know, we're having a good time. And I just realized, like, the notes app that, you know, I have, that it's on my other phone, that I had, like, all the points that I wanted to mention today. But you know what? We're flying off script. That's what we're going to do. But ultimately, Brian Flores, I think he's going to find a job. You know, Adam Gase found a job after he got fired by the Dolphins. Maybe the Jets hire him. No. But, like, he's going to find a job. It's going to be all right. But the people are like, this is insane. Why would you fire Brian Flores? No, they picked a go direction and they went with it. I'd rather them do that than have another year with Brian Flores and Chris Greer and not, that's the GM's name, right? And not really have like a uniting plan. Because they're obviously going two different ways and, you know, they decided to go the wrong way. They decided to stick with Tua. And yeah, I'm not trying to be like, oh, I knew Tua was bad all along. I was glad that when Herbert came out in the draft, I'm like, oh, thank God the Giants didn't draft him the previous year. Looks like he's not really going to be that good of a player. He didn't really improve his senior year. And all of a sudden, he's like the blossoming. And I'm like, shit. But he still didn't make the playoffs in his first 2 years. So us Giants fans have that leg to stand on a little bit. Now, I'm going to probably upload a video sometime today kind of talking about John Mara's press conference, kind of like a little parody to it and things like that. And I kind of understand where he's coming from. He's talking about how, like, Chris Mara, he's smart, but he doesn't really have that much weight in the organization, but he's picking the general manager. He's like, we don't have much weight in personnel decisions, but you have enough weight in the person that's going to be making personnel decisions. But that's the same thing as the owner. And you're saying doesn't really have that much weight. I kind of see where he's coming from, but it's like, really, that's kind of a little bit hypocritical. Like, what are we kind of talking about here? But the Giants organization, like, is it an organizational thing or is it a coaching thing? I heard David Deal say something like, you have to pair the head coach with the GM. Okay, let's go do a timeline then. Let's do a little bit of a timeline. So you fired Tom Coughlin under Jerry Reese. All right. So you had Jerry Reese for another year with Ben McAdoo, 2 years with Ben McAdoo. Okay, then you fire both. Okay, clean slate. Then you hire Dave Gettleman, who hires Pat Shurmur. Okay. Then you fire Pat Shurmur, keep Dave Gettleman. Okay. then you fire him with Joe Judge. So basically what you're seeing with is Jerry Reese with Tom Coughlin and Ben McAdoo. Dave Gettleman with Pat Shermer, give him another chance with Joe Judge. And that's simply what it was. And I think they made the right decision this way. And John Mara is basically saying, hey, look, we're open, not open for business, but like we're a competent organization. I believe that people are flocking to this job. Speaking about that, let's I think this is one of the topics I wanted to talk about. But if not, I'm talking about it anyway. How attractive is this Giants job? And let's go case by case. Let's go. Let's start off with the Vikings. Okay. So they have a limited amount of cap space. We have a quarterback that's getting paid $35 million a year that still has 2 years left on his deal. You have a lot of people on contracts. You're not picking high in the draft. You have somewhat of a guy that you think can replace Kirk Cousins, but he's no Mac Jones. He's no even like a Zach Wilson, you know, with the upside. You know, he's good. His ideal role is going to be a Dak Prescott where he improves every single year, but doesn't have that quite. He's not really quite a thrower of the football. He more like passes in a way. Whatever. I think you guys get the point. But you have some star wide receivers, but you know your wide receiver depth isn't really that great. Nothing really to scream about. You have some young offensive line pieces. So Minnesota, you're in a division with still Aaron Rodgers. If Aaron Rodgers leaves the division, it's way more attractive, especially with the Lions and the Bears now. So I get that, but you know it's not really that attractive. You know, unless like you're an offensive guy who's like, I'm gonna, you know, we find a little bit of a charge in this. Next, you have this team in the same division, the Bears. You have Justin Fields, who, according to all the scouts, didn't really learn and just was doing all the same problems he was doing. If he developed some new problems, like, well, at least he's learning from the older problems, and maybe he just, you know, flattened that thing out. But no, he still has those same problems that people are saying. He gets injured. He's been better at pocket manipulation, better with smarts, but his upside, do I see him ever being a top five quarterback? No. This roster is decimated. You're paying Khalil Mack a bunch of money. Robert Quinn, you know, he's 30, whatever it is. So he's old. And the defense, took a look at their past two drafts. Let me know a starter that you see in those drafts. Tevin Jenkins. Justin Fields, obviously. And Jalen Johnson. Cole Kmet. That's basically it. You know, you struck a couple of undrafted free agents who I believe they did with that wide receiver kind of gadget guy that they have. But, Davis, Gabriel, I forgot his name. But yeah, so you overall have nothing really that great. Mooney, I guess you could say a decent draft, but nothing that blows you away. Nothing that, you know, really anything to write home about. But maybe with the new GM, you feel like you can head a better direction. But this team feels like it's heading nowhere really, really quickly. Next, you have let's go to the Broncos. We have a stud defense. Yeah, really? I mean, you have some talent up the middle. Cornerbacks coming. I don't really trust Kyle Fuller. He's like 34 now, I think. He's pretty old. You know, I have some young cornerback talent. But overall, I think this team over-exceeded expectations this year. Not over-exceeded. I think their talent, they actually underachieved what people were saying. I think they met expectations for me. I don't really see much of a future there. Some decent, you know, wide receiver talent. It is pretty good. You know, Jerry Jeudy, things like that. Offensive line plays pretty well. I just haven't really got a chance to watch, you know, every single piece this year. I did last year. I had way more free time to do that. So we'll see what ends up happening at them. But the key thing is you don't have a quarterback. But you're going to be able to, you know, have a little bit of flexibility with that. They have some cap space. So it's not awful. I'd probably rank them like 2 or 3. It's a pretty good spot. They're in a pretty good spot. Next, you have the Dolphins. You don't have the quarterback. You know, you're going to have a GM that's going to tell you what to do because you have to share his vision. So that's already a red flag. They have cap space, but eventually you're going to have to start conservating that because, you know, their draft picks over the past couple of years and you start signing them, which is a good sign. You want to sign your draft picks, but you know, they got rid of some of them. Let's just say they got rid of some of them by training up to get Waddle, basically. But I don't believe, do they have a first round pick this year? I don't think they do. I think they wasted it training up. No, but they have the 49ers one, I believe. Not an awful spot. And then you have the who else am I missing? You know, the Dolphins. Who else got fired? I thought Pete Carroll. What happened to Pete Carroll? I thought he was getting fired. We haven't really heard that much about that. I thought it was like a definite firing or whatever that was. Matt Rhule is staying. I'm trying to like, go through the divisions in my head. I don't want this to be boring radio or podcasting. You know, Kevin Stefanski's still there. It's probably obvious. You're like, Anthony, this team is doesn't have a coach. Let's see. West Division. The Jags. The Jags. David Culley, potentially. I think he looks like he's staying. The Jags. You have Trevor Lawrence in the first overall draft pick. I mean, that's pretty good. But, like, it's you're going to be inheriting a lot of players that are young that may not fit your vision. At least you have, like, a bunch of veterans. You could trade them off for, like, six-round picks or something like that in later in the draft. With younger picks, it's going to be – I guess you can trade them off, but you kind of want to see them develop, and it's kind of – you're kind of in a rough spot. It's not a win-now situation, so it's a complete, utter rebuild. And you already started by paying a decent amount of players last year. But you can do some maneuvering, so it's not awful, but you're kind of in Jacksonville. I'm from Jacksonville. I guess. Not from Jacksonville, but I live in Jacksonville, so that's all right. So overall, you know, Denver's probably up there, you know, number one, limited cap space, but still doing pretty good. I would say number two is the Giants. I mean, you could keep Daniel Jones, or you could draft the quarterback 5th, 7th, or you can even trade. I think we're going to keep on talking about it, but I think with the Giants, it's going to be tough to trade for a quarterback, you know, because you have giving away the draft assets that make your team cheaper, plus, you know, a lot of people coming up for contracts, and you're not going to be able to use those draft picks. So it's kind of a double whammy. So yeah, I think Giants are number two, Minnesota three. Who else? Dolphins have to be way down there. Like, they're probably the last, the sixth. If you want to mention, Las Vegas, you know, down there as well, because they don't really have that many young talent. A lot of their roster right now is just like free agent signings, which is not really a good sign. Like long term, because you're gonna have to, you know, you have to immediately come in and draft well. And plus, Mark Davis is not really a suitable owner. You're gonna have to kind of rely on the guy that they have in now to do a bunch of things. And that's pretty much it. Bears like 4 or 5. You know, insert the who else? Who else did we mention? whatever. Maybe Cliff Kingsbury in there too. And the Jags, yeah, 5th, 4th, 5th, around there. But I hope you guys did enjoy this video. Let me know what you guys think, and I'll see you guys in my next one. Bye, guys.